I'm Elizabeth Ames, and this is the Women in Product podcast. This episode is part of our series about the path to Chief Product Officer. It is one of 9 interviews we conducted with incredible women CPOs about their individual paths to Chief Product Officer. In this episode, Rashmi Ramesh interviews Nupur Srivastava, Chief Product Officer of Included Health, formerly known as Grand Rounds Health. Nupur has spent almost 9 years at Included Health, rising from a senior product manager position through director, VP, and SVP roles to chief product officer. She joined Included Health after completing her MBA at Stanford and stints in product management at AliveCorps and Cisco Systems. She earned a BSE in electrical engineering from the University of Michigan and an MBA from Stanford University. Rashmi is a member of the Women in Product community and currently a director of product. I'll let Rashmi and Nupur take it from here.
Nupur, welcome to Women in Product, and we are extremely excited to have you here and learn about your journey. Let's get started with, first of all, how did you get started in product management?
Yeah, very excited to be here and share what I can. So I started my career off as an engineer and slowly wanted to be the product manager that was telling me what to do. And so I decided to go to business school, and coming out of business school, sort of realized that product management would be a nice blend of tech, business, design, user empathy, all things that I enjoyed. And so I also got really passionate about healthcare in business school. So ended up entering product in a telemedicine role and just loved it. Like, I loved the balance of, you know, leveraging my tech background, leveraging a bit of business. I love the user empathy side of things. And so it just felt like a really good role that, helped me work on things that I was passionate about, but also use skills that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that's awesome. So then did you kind of always wanted to be a chief product officer? Because this is a pretty new role that didn't exist, 10 years ago. How did that happen from your journey perspective?
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's what I always wanted to be. So, the current company that I work at, I joined Included Health about 8 years ago. And I joined as a senior product manager. And over the years, able to get more opportunities, was lucky to be surrounded by great mentors and a great manager. And so just through my progression in the company, I ended up getting the chief product officer role about 1.5 years ago. And so it's not necessarily something I knew I wanted 8 years ago, but I certainly love product and love the role. And so was very excited to keep growing in the company. You know, I was a director of product and then a VP of product, and then, you know, eventually became the CPO. And certainly love the role now.
Was there any point in time that, as you were growing through, VP and the next levels, that you thought, hey, there's a CPO role and I should probably look outside? Or did you ever have the thought of looking for this kind of a role outside of Grand Rounds or Included Health?
Yeah, it's a great question. In full transparency, no. I think I could see myself continuously growing at the company. I loved the team. I loved our mission. I loved the product. And so I knew that if I kept doing good work, kept progressing and kept driving impact, that it is likely, I knew that I'd have the support in the company to keep growing. So I was never tempted by other companies, partially because I felt pretty secure that, I had a good support system and I loved the team that I didn't think of leaving. I also had evidence of being able to grow in my career. Almost every year or two, I was able to see a progression. So I knew that if I kept at it and I kept learning and kept a growth mindset and kept asking for feedback and understanding where my gaps were, that eventually I could do more at this company itself.
That's awesome. So a follow-up question to that, when you said, you're seeking feedback, asking for more. So what kind of opportunities did you start seeking as you were growing in your product career? So how did you seek those opportunities and what kind of opportunities were they as well?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm always of a believer that you need to know what's most important to the company. and find yourself attached to projects that are really high value, right? So if you have a good sense of, you know, where the company is going and what is incredibly important, the one thing I've always had is a high sense of ownership. So I've always wanted to drive some of the bigger, more important projects. And so it started off with just the intellectual curiosity or the desire to be involved in some of these products or new product initiatives that were going to propel the company, you know, to expand our product line and to do more. And so the opportunities I always look for is to have a seat at the table or drive some of these big high impact projects. I love cross-functional work. You know, I love working with teams to solve hard problems. And so, and I also raise my hand a lot to lead things. And so I think that certainly helps, like looking for big projects that were able to impact the trajectory of the company was pretty important for me. It was important even for my own engagement because I like these type of problems, but it certainly helped me with the ability to show my leadership and others in the company that I'm able to drive to impact in a way that's collaborative, cross-functional, but also very results-driven.
Right. I mean, that itself has so much to unpack in there. And another question, follow-up question to that. So you said, you know, having this good sense of where the company was going and, you know, having projects related to that. How did you find yourself getting that good sense of how the company was growing? Because, you know, at a smaller company, of course, there are lots of pivots, lots of moving parts that are happening. So how did you make sure that you really understood what was happening there and, you know, you were working on those kind of projects that would really move the needle for the company?
Yeah. One thing that I think is really important for product people that I tried to do is understand as much as I could about the business. And the way I did that, you know, I've been on the executive team for a few years now. So it's that helps certainly. Mm-hmm. Have access to the way the CEO thinks about it and the rest of the exec team thinks about it and the board thinks about it. But the thing that I always try and do is understand how you craft product strategy or product priorities against the business priorities, right? So for example, there's certain years where we were moving from a one product company to a two product company. Mm-hmm. And I knew that that was, that those type of transitions can be difficult for companies, but I was also really excited about our second product. So, you know, I raised my hand to try and figure out what that will be, obviously in collaboration with others on the team. And so I think truly taking the time to understand the fundamentals of the business really go a long way, right? I would encourage people to be really crisp on, do you understand how the company makes money? What are your sustainable competitive differentiators? What are the top risks you all have as a company? Mm-hmm. What is the 3-year financial plan? And what exactly does product need to do to enable the company to succeed? And so partially a lot of it was just truly understanding the business and ensuring that where I was spending my time was aligned on the highest value things that would move the business forward.
That's an awesome tip, I think, for a lot of us. Let's kind of talk about now the actual preparation, you know, to get to those higher ranks and ultimately to being a CTO. One of the things when it comes to healthcare, especially, is it's a very complex and highly regulated world, which doesn't change that quickly. And innovating in such a space is a real skill, right? So what have been some of the skills that might have been different for a CPO like yourself in a healthcare world versus probably a CPO, let's say, in an enterprise SaaS company? And how did you work towards acquiring those skills as you were moving along?
Yeah, it's a great question. Maybe first I'll comment on a few things that may be different in healthcare than they are in enterprise SaaS. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends, including my husband, works in SaaS. And so I see the differences pretty clearly. The thing that's complicated about a lot of healthcare companies is most of the time your payer is not the same as the user, right? Mm-hmm. So in our case, you know, either insurance companies or, you know, various companies will purchase included health, but the user ends up being a member who's not paying for healthcare. And so the complicated thing about doing product in healthcare usually is you're balancing the needs of two users, and both are really important, right? They may ultimately, we're in healthcare because we want to make members healthier, but a customer who's paying for the money may be more focused on short-term ROI and, you know, how are you going to drive savings? But then members care about making their lives easier, making them healthier, and what have you. And so a skill that you learn when you work in healthcare for so many years is truly balancing your roadmap and making sure that you and your team can cater to both users, but also strike the right balance, right? Because you should not over-rotate on one versus the other. The other thing in healthcare that is extremely important is privacy. People are really, really conscious of their health information, especially if you have a benefit that's offered through your company, through your employer. And so really making that front and center, both in the product, the way we talk about it, the way we build trust. You know, in healthcare, trust is a big word. Like ultimately, you need to trust somebody with your health, which is really, really different than, you know, an enterprise application. And so really need to make sure that data and privacy and, you know, building trust with the user is of utmost importance. And then the last piece, you know, people get nervous about regulatory stuff in healthcare. Like I've been in healthcare for many years now. It sounds scarier than it is. I mean, I think the key is understanding it. The key is respecting it. The key is having experts in your team that you can rely on, whether it's in regulatory or compliance or legal. But it's not, you know, it's all these rules are in there for like good reason. And so just making sure you embrace this versus fight it will, you know, make you have like a stronger product that helps you build the trust of your consumers and your purchasers of healthcare.
That's awesome. So with your great success that you have with Included Health, do you think you missed anything by not being a part of a larger healthcare organization, for example?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I'm sure there's different skills you learn. So there was a time in my career where I did work at Cisco, which was really giant. And, you know, there are certainly good skills you learn, you pick up from a large company. You know, yeah, you think of large scale process, you probably think of scale in different ways. But I have zero regrets. I feel, you know, I've loved the team that I've hired, and, you know, I've been able to see the company when we were 40 people. And, you know, now we're much larger, you know, touching 2000. And so I don't regret not being at a larger company. Maybe someday in my future, I may consider that again. But it was very exciting to grow with the company, you know, since it was small to us being a little bit larger. So again, I think you learn irrespective of what environment you're in. But I also thankfully don't have any regrets and, you know, don't wish that I worked at a larger company. There's pluses and minuses in both.
Of course. No, that's very well put. So while you know, growing up the career ladder here, was there what barrier was probably the hardest to break throughout this journey for you to ultimately be a chief product officer, and why was it hard, and what did you do to overcome it?
Yeah, I think initially the I think through different inflection points in my career there were different barriers, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll share a couple just as people are growing through the ranks. The first was actually a leadership lesson that I learned, which is, so there's a book I recommend to everyone. You may have read it. It's called Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Really good book. And the concept that was really important to me was the concept of a first team. So when I first became a director, I thought my job was to protect my team and to fight for them to always be happy and content, and for us to have all the resources we need irrespective of anybody else. And that was a big mistake. And, you know, I was lucky to get coaching on that pretty early on from my CEO where, you know, you grow as a leader, the more you can consider your first team to be your peers, which are other leaders, and the more you optimize for your company, the better your team will actually be. Because you will orient your thinking in a way that will ultimately reward you and your team. So an earlier lesson that I learned or an earlier barrier I had that I had to sort of correct, and now I believe very strongly in the concept of a first team, where I have seen evidence of, you know, if I join hands with my peers who are other leaders, now it's the executive team, my team actually benefits from that. And it's very short-sighted when you try and protect your team or try and, you know, only fight for resources for them or don't think of the company first. And so just this shift as a leader in thinking about the success of the company first And your team being in service of that was hugely important for me and for my team as well. The other thing I learned is actually a little bit of what I mentioned. It was a struggle for me initially to think of two users. I was over-indexed on the member. I love working in healthcare because it's very easy to get passionate about helping people get rid of pain and suffering. And so I was really obsessed with the end user and I didn't understand the customer enough. And that was a huge barrier. And so thankfully I got feedback on that as well early on, where I exposed myself to customers a lot. And one big tip I would give product managers is, you know, the closer you get to the customer, the better. Even if you have multiple customers, like while I love our sales team, I myself would like exposure or members of my team, doesn't all have to be me, to be exposed to the customer directly. And that has just helped us create such better roadmaps. I mean, you know, you get to understand the problem a lot better. Yeah. You get to ask a lot of questions. And then maybe the last barrier is, you know, something I continue to work on, which is, you know, the ability to just find my confidence to keep owning it. Like I do have moments of self-doubt even now. You know, there's times where I'm like, whoa, what am I doing as CPO of this awesome company? But sort of finding the confidence, or even faking it at times, just because, you know, as a leader, you have to be confident. And there are moments of self-doubt that come in, but just finding ways to like validate or to recognize that, of course, you're in the role because you deserve it. And it's important. People are looking up to you as a leader. So it's important to, you know, it's important to make sure that, you know, you just own it a little bit more and you're able to project confidence, even though you may not always feel that way 100% of the time.
So across these, I wouldn't say pivots, but across these inflection points, did you any chance or any time think about, hey, you know, I should try different roles or do different things? Because you started as an engineer and then very early on you were in the product space. Were there any things you wanted to try and figure out and things, or what did experimentation look for you during that time?
Yeah, I was exposed to many more functions as I got closer to the customer, but I never wanted to do anything but product. And, you know, in the recent past, one of the things we were looking to do is to bring more business thinking into the product function. And so, you know, we introduced this notion of general managers, but they sat within my organization. So that was very interesting, like, you know, to think of the business metrics end to end versus just product metrics, right? Mm-hmm. So I was able to get a little bit of feel for that while still being in the CPO role, which is really helpful. Like I did, it was very, very interesting to start thinking a lot about revenue and margin and bookings versus previously, you know, sometimes you just focus on product metrics like engagement, efficiency, you know, NPS, etc. And so I was able to get a bit of that fix just in the way that my role grew. So, you know, because I was able to get exposure to the business side end to end, and in addition to product, and now I also run part of operations, I didn't need to look for another role. I still think the CPO role is one of the best roles in the company. I tend to think I may have the best job. And so I was never tempted to take another functional leadership role. But thankfully, as I grew in the company, I was able to take on other functions so that I got a little bit of that. It was scratched, right? Understanding more about the business, understanding more about operations and what have you.
You spoke about some of the business skills and things. So what influence did your MBA with Stanford have on, you know, getting to a CPO role and in your journey here?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's probably two biggest things that I've still taken away from Stanford. And, you know, it was a really, I feel incredibly lucky to have gone to that institution. It was, you know, really, really lovely. I also met my husband at Stanford, so I should mention that. But outside of that, there were two things I'd say. One is there's a really good class called Designing for Extreme Affordability that I just loved. It like that was my first exposure to a healthcare project and probably my first exposure to design thinking in a way that was really helpful, because we went through a lot of projects and saw the value of truly understanding your users. And so I think that has stayed with me throughout my product career. I don't know. And even even in my role currently, I try to find ways to stay as close to the member as possible, because I think ultimately User empathy is an incredibly important skill for you to have, irrespective of your position. And then the second thing was there was a really good class. It's nicknamed Touchy Feely, but it's meant to be around interpersonal dynamics, where you just get a lot of feedback from your peers in the way that you're positioned. And it just gave me a lot of good skills on like how to give feedback in a way that's not offensive, but like focuses on the behavior versus my interpretation of someone's intent. And I feel like that framework has stayed with me over the years and certainly helped me have difficult conversations in a way that's constructive in service of what's good for the business.
Well, that's awesome. I think I should just at least go check out those courses. And I know you started as an engineer in the beginning. So did being an engineer in the early part of your career, did it have any role to play in you being the CPO in terms of that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I was an electrical engineer. It's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. It probably just trained me for like lots of hard work in life. It was very tough, or I found it very tough. I do think being an engineer helps you with like structured logical thinking, which is a skill that all of us can use irrespective of our role. And over the years, it helps you build a tiny bit of credibility with your engineering peers. So I do think that being an engineer certainly was helpful. But I would say it probably just helped me with life skills that have helped me with all sorts of roles. Mm-hmm. By far the intensity of the electrical engineering program, was probably taught me grit like nothing else. I was also in a course where, back when I was an undergrad, only 10% of my class were women. And so it was also the first exposure to learning how to navigate and be able to hold your own in a, more male-dominated field. So it's interesting. I don't remember anything about electrical engineering, but I remember the grit. I remember the skills you build just being in a hard course and being different.
So talking about that, you spoke about the minority from a women point of view. Were there any specific challenges you faced as a woman? Again, everywhere it's so male dominated, so as healthcare as well, which is nothing different. But were there any challenges you faced as a female leader during your growth and path to the CPO?
Yeah, it's a good question. The one positive thing about working in healthcare is that there's actually a lot of females in healthcare. So this is a tip for others that are contemplating industries. So I think my current product team has more women than men. And I think our exec team is close to 50-50 from a gender standpoint. And so healthcare is actually, electrical engineering was way worse than healthcare. Healthcare actually has quite a number of women and strong leaders as well. So what I may actually say is, who knows what caused what issues in life, whether it was your gender, your race, the way you are. But, I loved the fact that I work in an industry where there's so many women. So if anything, like that's not why you stand out, And so I'm not necessarily sure if it like helped or hurt in any way. Who knows? I didn't feel that way because I was surrounded by a lot of strong women, whether it's members of my team or my peers on the exec team or, even members of our board are women. And so I thankfully will not attribute much to being a woman per se, because I'm not sure if there's like a particular incident I can think of where, I faced challenges because I was a woman.
One thing here with respect to a chief product officer is about just not one person, but building the right teams and having the right kind of people at that moment in what the company is trying to achieve. So how have you kind of learned to build these right teams and get the people together from your perspective?
Yeah. If there's one thing I would attribute my success to, it's my team. Like I've always been lucky to have a really good team. And so maybe I'll talk a little bit about what I've learned there over the years and, how I set up teams. This is, again, another really good book by the same author called The Ideal Team Player. And our CTO introduced that book to our company. It was really good. It talks about like hiring people that are hungry, humble, and smart. So hungry means you're hungry for impact. Humble is, you know, we have a no high ego culture. And then smart is actually people smart. So like high EQ. So I focused a lot on hiring the right people. I spend a lot of time doing reference checks. I end up usually writing a little performance review of the person even before they join to see if they agree with the feedback, whether they are open to what others have said about them, because I'm usually looking for a growth mindset and a bit of humility, but also someone that's hungry to grow and wants to grow and learn. And so I do think that as I've built teams in the CPO organization, it's first about hiring the right people. And I would say, you know, you can always learn content later, but it's, you know, getting these fundamentals right is so important. And so I've the key reason I've stayed even at the company for 8 years are the people that surround me. The other thing I'll say about product orgs that's very complicated is team organization, right? As I mentioned, mm-hmm. we are like a B2B2C business. You have an employer, you have a member, but then we're also like a tech company, but also a healthcare company and a services company. And so like organizing the product team is not trivial, but things that I've learned also about for others in digital health, hopefully this will resonate. I actually purposely will not hire just from healthcare. There's certain roles where like design, we actively do not hire from healthcare because mm-hmm. Very few people in healthcare have good design. But on the product side, it'll be a mix of people, right? So again, to me, it's about assembling the people that are oriented the right way through their competencies and their behaviors and their growth mindset, but then also mixing it up so that there's diversity of thought and diversity on multiple levels. But certainly where you come from, like I like the fact that, you know, there's certain members of my team that come from traditional healthcare and other members of my team that I worked at LinkedIn and Google and Uber and, you know, not the conventional mix, because I think the more you can encourage diverse thought, especially in product, and the more you'll also recognize that you need empathy for your users that are different than us usually. And so with teams in particular, like hiring the right person to me is like probably one of the most important things I can do in my job as a CPO to make sure, you know, because I fundamentally believe that when you have strong teams, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I've paid a lot of attention to over the years.
I really loved your performance review even before an employee joins. I think that kind of talks about how much of effort you've also put in to learn about that person.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. I have never heard that before. So that's such an amazing tip from you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Coming to, you know, now you being a CPO, as a CPO, could you describe your roles and responsibilities and most importantly, how do you think this is different from a VP of product, for example?
Yeah, totally. I think in general, CPOs need to completely understand and influence the business strategy. But then it's our responsibility to make sure that the product strategy is completely aligned with the business strategy. You need to make sure that there's clarity of vision, both at the company and product level, and be really comfortable communicating that time and again. And then you need to make sure you can engineer the right organization to deliver against the highest priorities, right? So as a CPO, I'm spending a lot of my time with customers, obviously with the CEO, the exec team, but also with my team, making sure that we're aligned on what the highest priority things are, what's our strategy, what does success look like a year from now, so that we're all swimming in the right direction. There's some level of board involvement as well. You know, you just mm-hmm. you need to make sure that if there's sessions where, you know, you need to present on the product strategy, your thinking is solid. It's based on an understanding of the market. It's based on an understanding of the buyer. It's based on an understanding of the user. You just need to know the space you operate in, competitive pressures, and have clarity on, you know, from an enterprise perspective, where you're going and how are the product priorities aligned. I will say that because I was promoted internally from a VP to a CPO, I didn't feel like there was a hard cut of responsibilities, right? Yes. You slowly start doing more and more and then you become a CPO. But if I can reflect on certain things I was doing as a VP that I realized I had to do differently mm-hmm. as I progressed in the company, you know, sometimes it's easy for product leaders to just get focused on execution, right? Or like driving teams for in-quarter roadmap delivery. Mm-hmm. But it's really important that we find time to step back, you know, ensure that we are truly building something that is differentiated, driving value to customers and members, and even questioning whether we are focused on the right things. And so, you know, some of the learnings I had as I grew in my product career is execution is one piece of it, and hopefully you're hiring strong teams that can drive a lot of the execution. But it's incredibly important that you're constantly sort of checking on, is your strategy still competitive? Are there changes in the market mm-hmm. that should make you reconsider things? Do you have a pulse on customers, both current and new? And so just ensuring that your thinking isn't just in the short-term optimization of product metrics, but you're raising your head to ensure that what you're getting the product to work on is actually best aligned with where you want the business to go.
Got it. And in this process, what has been the key to working successfully with your CEO in particular and, you know, just the leadership team at large?
Yeah, I think the product leader amongst an exec team has a really important role. You know, alignment is really important. You know, I've worked for my CEO now for many years, so it's very, very important for me to understand his latest thinking, to debate it as well, and to be on the same page with both where the company is going and how the product can support it. Again, because I've been here a while, that has not been as much of a struggle because we just have a lot of shared trust and context and experience with each other. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as a product leader, your role also, I think, as part of an exec team is to constantly try and steer people towards the right prioritization, right? I think product people are skilled in thinking about what's the highest value thing against what effort. And so sometimes I find myself, you know, needing to play that role even as we prioritize things across the entire team. You know, but it's a, you know, staying aligned with the rest of the exec team is incredibly important, whether that's with the head of sales or, you know, the healthcare leadership or CTO or what have you. Like, alignment is incredibly important. And if you're not aligned, you know, just the comfort level to debate it out and figure out how you make decisions that are truly optimized for what's best for the company.
How was your experience, you know, first time interacting with the board? Because that's kind of now part and parcel of what you're doing as a CPO to drive this alignment, right? So how was your first experience and yeah. how did you work towards getting that?
Yeah, my first experience was actually back when I was a senior product manager, where I think I was asked to do a demo for the board because they mm-hmm. were curious about the first new product we were building. I was scared out of my mind. The first time I met with the board, I had prepared so much that if you woke me up in the middle of the night, I could give a presentation to you. Over time, to me, it's not different than another product problem. You just have to understand your user. So mm-hmm. as I just understood what boards care about, it became a bit easier, right? I mean, they obviously operate at a higher level. They know the entire market well. When they're looking at us, they have many other comparisons in mind. So over time, I obviously built some confidence after just a few successful sessions, but it was, I ended up talking to some of my friends that are investors themselves just to get to know their mindset better. Once you understand what the board is optimizing for, then it's actually not terribly hard. You know, they have certain responsibilities mm-hmm. being on the board, but, you know, initially it's very nerve-wracking, you know, very, very nerve-wracking. You know, I probably didn't sleep for 2 days before the first time I presented. But over the years, you know, it's like any other stakeholder that you have in the business. You need to understand what they're optimizing for and then try and figure out how to land a message that would resonate with them, but also be comfortable pointing out where there's, you know, points of disagreement and figuring out ways to work through it. But, you know, thankfully now with board meetings, I don't get that stressed at all. But like, certainly it can be quite nerve-wracking if it's the first time you're doing it. So like anything else, like usually mm-hmm. when I'm nervous, I just over-prepare. And I try and learn as much as possible about the people and the way they think and read up about them and their other investments so that I have some sense of where they're coming from.
And through this whole process, do you think you had to make any personal or professional sacrifices to get to the state you are? And if so, taking a look back, do you think they're worthy of the sacrifice?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think on a personal level, I have... the decisions I've made have been oriented around what I want out of life, which is, I think I orient my life around having an impact on the world. And so I don't view it as a sacrifice as much as a choice. You know, certainly I work a lot and have worked a lot for many years, but I truly do enjoy what we do. You know, the thing that the realization I had many years ago was, I probably have a tendency to really throw myself into work, but it's more fun if the work that you're doing you feel really good about, right? So like if you're making people healthier, it doesn't feel as bad if you're working many hours. You know, there's ups and downs in any job, mm-hmm. but so I view it as less of a sacrifice versus like a conscious choice, because I was clear on, at least for this phase of my life, that, you know, creating an impact on healthcare is what's most important to me. And, you know, the venue through which I'll do it for now is Included Health. And so I don't, it's a personal choice I made. You know, the many things where I've been lucky in life, you know, I've had good health, I've had a family that's provided for me, I've had a supportive husband, you know, a good company. And so it doesn't feel as a sacrifice as much as a conscious choice. And once it's a conscious choice, you then just deal with the consequences.
That's awesome. Love the word that you said, conscious choice versus a sacrifice. Any other advice, Nupur, especially to the women who are maybe in the director to a VP level, you know, one or two steps from being a chief product officer?
Yeah.
Any other advice apart from, you know, the things that you have really shared with us?
Yeah. There's advice that I think, I mean, this is generalizing a bit, but, you know, this is women in product, so I'll say it. The biggest thing that I would say to other women that are directors or even, you know, senior PMs looking to be a CPO someday is there's this thing that someone said to me, which is you miss all the shots you don't take. The biggest issue I see is, you know, they just don't ask. They won't ask for the promotion. They won't ask for the, I mean, this is generalizing on a very gross level, but mm-hmm. they won't ask for the promotion. They won't ask for the bigger role. They won't sort of demand what they deserve, and it's quite lopsided in terms of confidence. And so you truly are the driver of your own career. And so as uncomfortable as it is, it's really important to ask, right? And it's important to dream big as well. Like there's many women who are like, oh, I can't do that, or I'm not going to ask for that. Like, you know, it's like, why? What's, mm-hmm. why, you know? Why wouldn't you ask for that? I mean, the worst case is someone may say no, or the best case is someone will see you in a different light because you're hungry to have more impact and potentially help you create a path to get there. So the biggest thing I'll say is like, find the confidence to just claim that that's what you deserve and that's what you want, and say it out loud to somebody and then say it out loud to your manager. Just like ask the things that you deserve. It's just very lopsided what I see with the teams that I run. Where in general, you know, if I give someone increased scope, you know, if most of the time women will just thank me for it, but not ask for a raise or a promotion, you know, and that's just, again, you miss all the shots you don't take. It is important to be the driver of your own career, and it is important to make the asks. I understand that it's hard, it's uncomfortable, it's perhaps sometimes against our nature, but really, really important to advocate for yourself.
And kind of fast forwarding a little bit, you know, let's say a couple of years down the lane, how do you think this role as a chief product officer might change, not just probably in healthcare, but in general, how do you think this will change?
Yeah, I'm seeing the role even change now. You know, I'm seeing, you know, certain companies, you have the tech functions rolling into a CPO. A company like ours, for example, you have the general managers that are part of the CPO function. Certain companies, you have operations rolling in. I mean, I'm a huge believer in obviously strong CPOs, selfishly so. And so I wonder whether in a few years, whether the CPO role takes on more functions in the company, where you centralize more things around product. Mm-hmm. But who knows, you know, it is a newer role. It is seeing a ton of traction. I see growth even now in the role, and the role that a CPO plays as part of an executive team and the board, the role that a CPO plays with other functions. So I wonder whether that hopefully will keep increasing and improving.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome insight there. Maybe one last question. What headline would you make beyond a chief product officer? Like, what do you want to do beyond what you are now?
It's a good question. It's a hard question. So my optimization function in life is impacting healthcare a lot. And the current role I do it through is the CPO at Included Health. In the future, if there was a way to impact it in an even bigger way, either another role, another, you know, I have some interest potentially in trying to be a CEO someday, but I haven't made up my mind yet because I really like the role of the CPO right now. But to me, the way I make my decisions in my career is what will help me make the biggest impact in healthcare, given my skills. And currently the answer is CPO at Include Health, but who knows how that may change in the future, in the distant future. I'm not planning to go anywhere.
No, that's awesome. And we're definitely rooting for you and, watching you with respect to what your next steps would be. That's pretty awesome. And maybe one last question there that piqued an interest here. So when you look at all of this, when you look at Nupur, what have been your superpowers or your specialty, Nupur, if you can summarize that for us?
Yeah, I think it's a tough question. It's probably a heightened sense of empathy, whether it's for our users, our customers, or the team, because I think it helps me also have a really strong team, right? So if I had to pick one thing, the way the empathy has come to bear is I do feel like I can understand people, hire the right people, invest in people, grow them, and deeply care for them personally. And again, I think a lot of my success at Included Health has been because I've had really awesome teams throughout my time here. But I do think my empathy or my ability to relate to others or feel what others are feeling is likely something that I would call a superpower.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. I think that was pretty much it from my end, Elizabeth. Any other questions from you?
I just want to, I guess, pick one thing that really stood out to me that you talked about, which I think is pretty different from what we have heard from other people, is this. I made a note. You literally said, I've organized my life around having an impact. I don't think many people think of their careers that way. And in your case, you picked a specific area that you wanted to have an impact, and have evaluated staying where you are or, doing what you're doing based on if you're having that impact, if you see the potential to increase your impact where you are. I think that's a very unique approach and a really interesting one, really. That's the thing that I picked up in particular that I heard that was really different than I think what we've heard before. So, and maybe part of your superpower, I would dare.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, some of it comes from, I have felt pretty lucky in life. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Middle East, really good parents that allowed me to do more than what other women were allowed to do. I was one of the first in my house to come to the US for undergrad. My dad funded that. So it's a little bit of this desire to give back and do something bigger, But I feel a lot of luck for where I mean, yes, I worked hard and all that good stuff, but like a lot of things fell my way.
Yeah. I think, awesome. Even just saying that, just seeing kind of the investment around you in you and how that sort of lifts people up, helps them move forward. Not everyone, and it's not to diminish the hard work that individuals put in, but having those things around you does make a difference, right?
Yeah, a huge difference. Yeah, I agree.
Thank you so much. Rashmi, what a wonderful conversation with Nupur. It's pretty rare for somebody to rise from a senior product manager position all the way to chief product officer in one organization. But I loved Nupur's explanation about what kept her there and helped her to rise. We'll be taking a brief hiatus over the next few weeks from the CPO series as we spend some time highlighting things for this year's Women in Product Conference. The conference will be held virtually May 9th and 10th. I understand that some of the CPOs from this series will be in conversation with you for one of the keynotes. Are you excited about that, Rashmi?
You know, Elizabeth, I still have the t-shirt from the Women in Product Conference that was held at the San Jose Convention Center. And at that time, I honestly didn't know most of the speakers. But over the course of time, I think Women in Product has done such a great job via the newsletters, events, and such, to really highlight the contributions of many such successful women, and hence I'm really excited this year. Now, the Path to CPO podcast has had a significant impact, and I'm really proud of it. The icing on the cake is this opportunity to be in conversation with two CPOs as a part of the keynote for the conference, where we will delve deeper into the topic. And if you have any burning questions, let us know via our Facebook groups.
The Path to CPO series will start up again on May 24th with an episode focused on some of the insights we've gained from these first four interviews. Rashmi and I hope you will join us then, and hope that you'll join us at the conference May 9th and 10th.
Thank you for listening. And thanks also to our partners, Discover, Google, Meta, and Upwork, who provide annual support for the work of Women in Product and our community. This podcast is an original production of Women in Product. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave us a review so that others can discover us. Or share this episode with people you know. If you have any questions or suggestions for future guests or topics, you can reach us at podcast@womenpm.org.